Welcome to Creating the World's Best Client Experience. This is the business edition of our successful Tuesday flagship show, The Ultimate Journey of Self-Care. I'm Allison Kay. I'm a 30-year health and fitness veteran turned business strategist and retreat master. And every Thursday, we're talking about what it takes to create client experiences that actually matter. Because here's what I've noticed. Client experiences have become impersonal, transactional, digital only, and frankly, boring. There, I said it. But the truth is, a client experience is so much more than a transaction. It's about what goes into creating transformation, the strategy behind it, the intentionality, and the human connection. And that's what we're exploring on this show. Whether you're building retreats, hosting events, creating high-touch programs, or reimagining how you serve your clients, this is where we talk about how business owners can create different experiences within their businesses. Experiences that don't just serve clients, they transform them. So if you're ready to go beyond the same old automated funnels and cookie cutter approaches, you're in the right place. Let's dive in and get into the show. Hey, everybody. Welcome to today's episode of Creating the World's Best Client Experience. This is the business edition of our Tuesday flagship show, The Ultimate Journey of Self-Care, because if you know me and you follow me, you know I'm all about how best to prioritize yourself. But on Creating the World's Best Client Experience, it's about self-care for your business. And I always like to think about how this looks from one of two lanes. One is, how do we always maximize customer value? But number two, how do we highlight the transformation that we help our clients get? And this is usually where I love to hear from other industry experts on what they're doing to really innovate and make their client experience exceptional. And today, I'm super excited about my guest today. Today, I'm talking to Jennifer Teplin, who is the CEO and founder of Manhattan Wellness, which I totally love. This is a hybrid business model. If you know me, you know I love the hybrid model. She's maximizing in-person and online for the therapy space, which I think is pretty cool. So thanks so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to chat.
Yeah. So anyway, so you're a licensed therapist.
Yes.
You've had a therapy practice for a while, and you sort of read the tea leaves, and you said, there's a better way to do this.
Absolutely.
So tell everyone just a little bit about your story and how you got started.
So you'll kind of laugh when I give this away, but I'm the daughter of an entrepreneur and a women's business coach. So when you put those together, it's not surprising that you have an entrepreneurial therapist for a daughter, right?
I mean, my dad was an entrepreneur too, so I think that's where I got it. So
yeah, and at my core, I'm not a risk taker, but I'm really curious, and I'm humble, and I'm willing to be wrong.
Yeah,
and I think a lot of people are not willing to be wrong.
Yeah,
so they're afraid of
being wrong.
Well, right. I think like being wrong means you don't know what you're doing,
right?
And
you're a fraud,
there's
whatever.
A negative connotation. But like, I sort of think none of us know what we're doing.
Yeah.
And like, sometimes we just get it right and that feels good. And then you have a little more confidence to move forward.
Right.
But I started out just as a therapist working at a private practice. I helped the owner of that practice grow. I think when I left, there were like three therapists besides myself. And I realized I loved being a therapist, but what I loved more was that reach, helping people come into their own and growing businesses. So I decided to start my own practice. And I had one friend that worked for me part-time. And I was like, this is great. Like, I'm pretending like I'm a boss. And, you know, 10 plus years later, I have 30 full-time therapists.
Amazing.
And we support over 500 clients on a weekly basis in New York, New Jersey, Illinois, and Florida. So our reach is expanding. When I used the name Manhattan Wellness, I clearly didn't have the vision of reaching other people. But I think the name Manhattan, and like, this is one of those great examples of like, wasn't on purpose, but it's working out. I think it gives you kind of the status of what we're offering.
Yeah.
But I giggle at it now, because when I first opened the business, I said, I'm going to call it Manhattan Wellness, because I'm going to have therapists. I'll have a masseuse. I'll have a PT, and it'll be this wellness space. And it's no, it's not what it is at all. But it's turned into something really beautiful. And I think every day, every week, every month,
love it.
I'm learning, I'm innovating. It used to make me uncomfortable to realize this thing that we were doing is no longer working anymore.
Yeah.
Like, how can I find any security? And now I think I just come from a more confident space of, how can I innovate this? How can I step it up? The women that work for me, and especially my back office, don't love it, because I'm always changing and judging and doing, like, nothing's ever static.
Well, welcome to being a business owner. It's totally, just,
but I mean,
you don't
want to
always
ends.
Change things, then don't be a business owner. Go work for someone else.
The hustle lives on, and I just, it charges me up.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I like to say that being an entrepreneur is you just like having your hair on fire.
At all
you know?
Times.
And yeah. I mean, obviously, I'm a redhead, so I do think there's some truth to that. But I think there's just this fervent desire, this constant fervent desire to just keep creating and keep
yes.
generating and keep building and keep seeing what else can work. And to me, I get immense satisfaction from that.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
But you have to be excited by that.
Totally.
There have been times when I maybe haven't had my side of the street as clean as I'd like it to be or as buttoned up. So, for example, I went on my first maternity leave and I gave myself a true 3-month maternity leave.
Yeah.
Which, like, would have been nice to have longer. Like, I believe women after they have a child should take all the time they need.
Yeah, totally.
I came back to a very different business, transparently, than the one I left. The practice was not as full. It was not as robust. Like, I checked out for those 3 months and it really hurt the business. And I'm now pregnant and due with my third, you know, 10 weeks from now. And I'm like, okay, how can I honor and, like, as you like to focus on the self-care and, like,
totally.
Take care of what I need? And realize that I also have to honor and take care of what the business needs so that my exciting life event doesn't have a negative impact.
Yeah.
And I really learned with my second of stepping into the business where I'm truly needed as soon as possible, but having people around me to support
yeah.
the personal
yeah.
areas that I need the help. And that's been a
I
really
bet.
Great learning lesson. So fingers crossed for number three that I get the balance a little closer.
I have a colleague
tonight.
In the retreat space who kind of talks about it like that. You know, she's mm-hmm. very high level. She's got a lot of, you know, moving parts all the time and
mm-hmm.
and she's amazing at what she does. But she also prefaces it with saying, I have a lot of really good support in the mm-hmm. areas where I need it. So I think you've hit on that. I think for a lot of founders, that's something that we have to think about. It's going to look different for everybody.
Oh, absolutely. And I think
yeah.
it's just being willing to ask for help is one
yeah.
of the most difficult things as a human. I've gotten really good at asking for
yeah.
help. What I'm not good at is giving feedback to the help that I ask for. Like
yeah.
when someone's doing something, I'm like, okay, you're doing great, even if it could be optimized. So
yeah.
I'm working personally right now
yeah.
in my professional space and my personal life of being able to give feedback for things to flow better. I haven't figured it out yet. That's the people pleaser in me, but I'm getting there.
Yeah.
It's on the docket.
Well, but I also think to your point, and I just want to make one more point, then we'll move on. You talk about how you've gotten better at asking for help.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really important as a therapist that you're embodying that, because that's really something that you want your staff, the therapists that are on your team,
mm-hmm.
to be able to feel free to do. But we also, I think it's always important that we walk our walk for the people that we serve.
Absolutely.
And so for your clients to see that you're living that is very powerful mm-hmm. for them too.
No, I appreciate you saying it. And I can't do it every day, right? Like, no one is perfect. No one does something in absolutes. But my favorite measurement scale as a therapist, a business owner, as a human, is more times than not. So
yep.
looking at a week, looking at a month, like not a day, but if you're doing it for yourself 4 out of
yeah.
7,
yeah.
then to me, you're on the right side of history
yeah.
on it.
Yeah, I think what you have to look at is in the greater, bigger picture, what I like to call the 50,000 square foot view. I think you have to look at, are you beating the law of averages?
Yeah, 100%.
Are you being consistent? And look, instead of when I worked in fitness full time, I used to tell my clients, no, it's not every day. Don't beat yourself up because you don't do it every day or mm-hmm. every other day. But look at what can you be consistent doing? And if it's
yeah.
1 or 2 times a week, then let's start there.
That all or nothing mindset stops people from even beginning.
Yeah.
And to me, that's such a scary headspace to be in.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. So let's talk a little bit about like how you have your business set up and like what brought you to this revolution. I mean, obviously,
yeah.
you started as a one-on-one therapist, like
mm-hmm.
probably like so many people do. You were probably in person, right?
Yes.
So after a while, you realized, to your point, you needed help. You needed
mm-hmm.
more people on your team if you were going to serve more people so that you wouldn't burn out.
Mm-hmm.
So walk us through a little bit of your thought process of how you added to your team and then how you made the decision to go hybrid, which I think is so cool.
Thank you. So I always look at what I can't do as my compass for where I should go next.
Interesting.
So when people are reaching out and I don't have the time slot, like when it was just me and I had my girlfriend working part-time, and when she was full, I was full, people were reaching out and I was turning them away, that was my like, ding, ding, ding. You either need to bring her on full-time or you need to hire someone else. So she ended up coming on full-time, and then it sort of created my original model, which was bring someone on part-time, try them out, have them learn what you're doing, then offer them a full-time position. And so I would do that for my first few therapists, but then we would get into this space of like, well, they liked their full-time job, but I need another person. But do I want to have 50 part-time employees? Like that sort of felt like a headache to me. And it didn't feel like the community I wanted to build within my practice. Mm-hmm. But I also, the, you know, bleeding heart therapist in me, I wasn't going to take someone on and then not have them be able to pay the rent.
Yeah.
Like I knew if someone was coming over to work
for me, you wanted to set them up for success.
I had to fill them fast or I was going to be paying their rent for them. So I really had to ask myself, like, how can I start to measure? How can I start to track so that I can sort of project how often will I be able to fill someone? When can I hire someone? So I started to hire full-time in that way. And then the pandemic happened. And it was 2 months after I had signed on to a 5-year lease in Manhattan for a multi-office space that, of course, couldn't be used. And you can assume that no, my landlord did not let me out of it.
And you were in New York, where it was like complete and total lockdown.
Nothing, no one was going in, no one was coming out.
Wow.
Rent, I still had to pay it. It was terrible. And so we had to be fully virtual, which was fine. And also allowed me to expand my practice quicker because one of the limitations before the pandemic, all of therapy, not all, absolutes aren't helpful, but I would confidently say 95% of therapy was done in person.
Totally.
So
I would agree with
not
that.
Only,
and I still think a lot of people do that. They still go with that route.
Well, I'm going to tell you, actually, in New York, it is like rare to find an in-person therapist right now, which is great for my business model. Less great for everyone who's virtual. Because being virtual, like your overhead is so low.
Totally.
The risk is so low. And obviously, that's more of a comfort level for people. But one of the limitations besides my want to make sure I could fill someone was office space. It's not that hard to get an office space that's at my standards, in the location, et cetera. So when the pandemic hit and everything had to be virtual, I was able to just multiply. I was like a mouse in a basement. And the second I was filling someone, I was hiring someone. And that really allowed my practice to boom. And then once the world started returning to its new normal, mm-hmm. I surveyed the clients and I surveyed the therapists to find what was that happy medium. Because to hire someone fully remote and then look at them and be like, and now you have to go into an office, is a little bit of a hard sell. And also I was like, do people want to come in person? I don't know. I do have this office space that I hate at this point. But I was able to reframe the office space, realize like that was kind of paying my dues, lesson learned.
Yeah.
And it turned out that a lot of people wanted to return to the...
I do think that that's the case today. I do think that
there's... in-person space.
For people who still work remotely, it's one of two things, I think, going on.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they were doing already, so they're used to it. Maybe they altered it a little bit, but mm-hmm. it's just what they know.
Yes.
But I also think for some people, it's they've sort of went remote, you know, and then they've sort of figured out that they really like it. And I'm mm-hmm. not saying either one is right, either one's right or either one's wrong, but I think I do see the argument for asking people in a business to be in an office part of the time, because I do think they show up different if you go somewhere. I think 100%. There's a lot to be said for being around other people and being in some kind of community. I don't know that I see that as a restriction,
mm-hmm.
but I think it speaks to employee morale and productivity too, when you're kind of, you know, in an environment with other people, you don't feel like you're by yourself. And I
100%.
Feel like you could probably do the same amount of work remotely. I know there are a lot of people that say mm-hmm. they're more productive because they're remote, but I'll make the argument that there's just the incentive is a little bit different. I just think you're pushed a little bit more. And I think at the end of the day, that's what people push back on. And there may be people listening who say that's totally not true. That's just my opinion.
I totally don't disagree with you. And now when we hire someone, we're hiring for either 2 days remote, 3 days in office, or 2 days in office, 3 days remote. And it's sort of the standard protocol for us. But I have found so many, especially during the pandemic, practices open that were fully virtual. And it's great to have like almost no overhead is lovely.
Yeah.
I just find that so many people are asking for that in-person therapy.
Yeah, because there's really no substitute for in-person connection. And yeah. I think what we have to also hit on, and you being a therapist, I would love your thoughts on this, is the effect on people's mental health when you don't have that human connection.
Mm-hmm.
Because as human beings, we are created to be with other people. We're not created to sit behind a computer and be home or in an office somewhere where we don't mm-hmm. see anybody. And there are plenty of people out there who feel much more comfortable doing that. You know, it's just, it's what,
sure.
what they're used to or whatever. But I do think that when we do too much of that, it's mm-hmm. not always in people's best interests. I feel like it really hinders your growth and your emotional capability.
Yeah, I like offering virtual because it gives the flexibility for the consultant, the person who travels, the person who at the end of the day is exhausted. I also think there's something really nice about leaving your apartment and going somewhere, even if you do work remotely,
yep.
having a space to just leave your feelings and your totally. Emotions there. I could give you the argument for either way,
yeah.
but I'm surprised how much having a true in-person brick and mortar has made our practice stand out and has made our practice unique compared to the others around.
Yeah, well, really what you're doing is you're showing people that you can do both and do it well. So I'm thrilled to announce that I'm partnering with a brand new product, and it's called Cellevate. This is an amazing, tasty, gummy supplement, and it comes in two varieties. One designed to help you with inflammation and recovery, perfect for after a workout, or if you've had like several days in a row where you've really pushed it and you're really starting to feel it in your body, this is the perfect addition to a regular routine. The other formula helps address focus and memory, which, let's be honest, I think we can all use a little help there, right? What's different about Cellevate is that not only does it taste great, but it has amazing antioxidant power. So many vitamins and supplements on the market today, you either have to take several in a single day to even see any kind of tangible result, or most of the time, a lot of them don't even give you the result that they promise. And Cellevate checks both boxes. I take one of each formula every day. And what's more is that they pack and travel really well. So you can take some and put them in a Ziploc bag and throw it in your bag when you're going out of town, and they won't melt. And it just is the perfect addition to whatever it is that you're doing every day in the way of vitamins and supplements and whatever else works for you. So I knew that I had to get in here and at least tell you about it. I would love it if you would head over to their site and give it a try. I'm actually going to offer you a really special deal. You can find this amazing product at their website, and that's spelled Cellevate.com, which is Cellevate.com. And use my special promo code, the Allison K 2024, and you can save 15% off. I would love to know what you think once you have a chance to try this.
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
I think people need other people to demonstrate that for them, that, you know what, this might not be what I had in mind, but I can make this work. And really what you're showing to your clients is that we can support you from anywhere, which absolutely. I think is a huge message to send.
Absolutely. And it's intentional.
Yeah. I love it. So talk to me then a little bit about your framework. I know, I realize you probably don't have like a framework that you use as a therapist. Everybody's a little different, but I'm sure that you have certain standards that you apply in serving your clients, and you probably mm-hmm. have standards that you expect your therapist to do, because this kind of speaks to the level of the client experience that you offer. So tell us a little bit about that.
Absolutely. So I call it our gold standard. There's an internal clinical gold standard for clients, and there's the experience. And I call us a boutique private practice because what we're offering is more than just,
love it.
You send us an email, we'll answer you a few days later. Like if you email my practice and it's not 11 p.m., you're getting a reply within an hour. If you send us your information, you could be set up with a therapist 4 hours from now. I like to Amazon Prime the experience as complete as possible.
I do think that responding the same day is critical. I really do.
For me, if it's a working day, it's within an hour. Like you will hear back from our office. And I think it's important to have a quick reply with any business, but especially in a business where people are asking for help.
Totally. 100%.
Yep. They may be in a really vulnerable position. They may be in need, or this may be they haven't been feeling great for so long. And this is the one moment that they're
exactly.
willing to be vulnerable
right.
enough to 100%. Ask. So
yeah.
Like, let's at least do them the service of giving them a meaningful reply that can actually help get them situated.
Yeah. And I also think that with the way healthcare is set up today, you can reach mm-hmm. out to your doctor and you might be really lucky to get a response that day. So I think you really set yourself apart when you do respond quickly.
And something else that we do that sets us apart is we handle out-of-network claim submission. So most therapists in New York City are out-of-network. And so what it means is someone pays up front, and then often at the end of the month, your therapist will send you a bill, and then you have to deal with the paperwork with insurance. It's most of the time a nightmare. Our office handles it all. So someone, the moment they're charged, is the moment we submit to their insurance. We'll track it. We'll make sure it gets to them. So we just really have looked at what are all the pain points, and I like to call them points of friction, in the I have a problem and I need help to like completing the full circle. And I just am always, you know, creating a fresh iteration on like, how can we resolve it? How can we make it simpler? Or how can I prevent the problem before it even starts to like
Well, it's just, it's really being proactive and anticipating what you think people will need and how you're going to respond. It's like what my coach calls pre-paving. You want to just kind of make that decision ahead of time, because then you don't surrender your power. You know, you're like, not, and I don't want to sound like this is, you know, it's a power trip or anything, but to your point, when people are in a vulnerable position, or when they're afraid, or when they finally take that step, reach out for help, you want to make sure that it's handled in a timely manner.
Absolutely. I just think, like, let's get out of the way of actually connecting and finding each other. And as my practice has gotten larger, we've created more protocols. And it's been interesting to see which ones have to be evolved, what people buy into, what people get nervous around. And, you know, I think as we get larger, we have to standardize it. I can't be checking every single thing every day. And I haven't really perfected like the messaging on change within the practice for the therapist. And I think that's my biggest area of growth for this coming year, is like how to get people a bit more on board with what I know is right for everyone.
Yeah. So when you talk about the gold standard practice, is that like a framework? Is that a process that you use? Tell us a little bit about that.
You know, it's really just my own opinion and experiences.
Okay.
But, you know, for me, a gold standard, for example, for the therapist, is that the therapist is knowledgeable and an expertise in what the client's coming in for. So every client that comes to our website and fills out a form, they set up a call with me directly. Okay. And I'm explaining the practice, I'm learning what they're looking for, and then I'm creating and providing a provider match for them. So I'll give them, here are three providers who I know specialize in what you want, and have availability, and are in the price point that you want.
So every client that comes in meets you.
Yep.
Wow.
Which is tough for my calendar,
I bet,
but it's great for my business. And this is something new and like a great example of an iteration that we have. We used to have a form fill. We would send you an email with all the information. And then people were, we weren't getting like the highest land rate. I obviously want 100% land rate.
Totally.
That's the world we live in.
Right.
But I would say 3 months ago, I was speaking with my sister-in-law, who's my back-end office manager. She has an executive assistant business, which is great for me.
Yeah, totally.
Because like, who can you trust more than your sister?
Yeah.
And she said to me, would you ever be open to doing Calendly calls? And I was like, I don't think anyone's going to click these, but sure, let's give it a go. Let's try it for 2 weeks. Normally, I think give things a month or two, but I am really sensitive about client outreach. So I was like, I'll give you 2 weeks. She did it, and land rate doubled. And like, was there a smidge less outreach? Yes. But when you're doubling, right?
But like, see, what that's telling you is that that's what people want, which is
connection.
Gold. Because so much of the time as business owners, we're like, what the hell? What is it that's going to work here, right?
But then I'm looking back on 10 years and I'm like, imagine if I had done this 10 years ago.
Yeah.
But it's been amazing. So like, our gold standard of the client experience is, they're speaking with the practice owner, or now Jessica is trained, the office manager, in helping doing the placements if I'm not available. Obviously, like planning for maternity leave.
I get it.
Trying to be a little
smart.
Mindful.
Yeah.
They get landed with the therapist and they're getting a standardized email from the office, paperwork, welcome from the therapist. Within 2 hours of landing, you're being carried across the finish line and given all the information you could ever want to have.
I love it.
The therapist is showing up on time. They're professional. Like, everything's being tied in a bow beautifully. And then once the session ends, my gold standard is your note is completed by the end of the day.
There's
accurate
a lot of
documentation.
White glove treatment is what I'm hearing. A lot of just attention to detail, which right there makes you stand out.
Absolutely. But I just think, why not do your best if you're going to do it?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
So I find that most people have been to therapy before they're coming across my practice, but they've never experienced therapy like we're offering it. There is nothing better than when I speak to someone on the phone and they're like, you own the practice I'm speaking to? And I'm like, of course you are, at 9 p.m. on a Tuesday while I'm, you know, not hanging out with my husband or spending quality time together. Here we are. But yeah. People appreciate it and it's totally different and they value it and it's working.
And relatable, and that goes so far to building trust with people, which is such a low these days.
No, it is. And then when it comes to like the back office end of it, it's responding within an hour, it's processing claims, it's helping people with billing, finance challenges. Like truly, I believe there is no problem we can't solve.
Yeah.
And a great example is something that we came up across was people were not everyone couldn't afford our services. Everyone cannot afford everything. That's how the world works.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, I paired that with my want to better our hiring experience. And we ended up creating a program of our clinical fellows, which are when you're in clinical social work school, you have field placements. So we take 5 clinical fellows on a yearly basis and we're able to offer low fee therapy. So like a much more affordable rate. And
they get their practice, they get reps in, which is beneficial too.
And then we can really see who would be a great hire for us. And by the time we hire someone, they're 85% trained in the therapist that I want them to be. And that's been our greatest hire since rolling out that program. And it kind of like killed 2 birds with 1 stone. It doesn't always work out, right?
Yeah.
But it's just like, where's the issue and how can we creatively solve it? And just constantly doing that churn and being curious, I have found is what's made my business as successful as it is.
I love that. That is such gold for people listening, because you're not only sitting there thinking, you know, I need to be always hiring and looking for people, which to be honest, sounds like a pretty heavy thought to hold on to all the time. You know, like I've got to be looking, because I know I've got a client right now who's a therapist who's kind of transitioning more into coaching, but she still has some therapy clients and she owns a small private practice. And this is one of the struggles that she's had, is like keeping her practice at a point where she can actually move out of it more.
Do other things.
So I love that you're looking at this as a true entrepreneur and saying, I'm going to read the tea leaves here. You know, I've got to look like, you know, 6 months down the road, a year down the road, what do I want this to really look like? Right. You're making you always want to make your decisions from where you want to be, not necessarily from where you are right now.
Absolutely.
But you're also saying, how can I really make this better? What's going to be the best fit for me? You know, and what's going to feel good to me? Which so many business owners don't do that. It's all about solving the problem today versus let's be proactive for the future. So big kudos to you for that.
Thank you. I'm just honestly making it up as I go. Well, and then sometimes I fall on my ass and I just stand up and keep going.
But we all are. We're all just, I don't want to say flying by the seat of our pants on a daily basis.
Sort of.
It's not that. But we're all just kind of seeing how it
learning.
Works. We're seeing how it works. We're asking questions. We're staying curious. It's like, what am I learning? Because I really believe, and this is where a lot of people just say, oh, you're just being too positive or whatever. But what I really believe is that if we're learning, and we're implementing, we're not failing.
Yeah.
So we might not get the result that we want, but we're still learning because we're getting feedback in real time. And that's gold. Otherwise, what are you going to do? Sit around and just guess? I mean, that's...
And I would also say if you're always reaching or exceeding your goals aren't big enough.
Totally.
Like I set a goal that if I could reach it 10 years
ago, scares the shit out of you, right?
I'd be thrilled.
Yeah.
Yes. But if you're like,
set goals that like literally light your hair on fire.
Yeah. Like if you're like, oh, check, what's the next one? It's like, no. Those were benchmarks.
Well,
like,
then you really shouldn't be an entrepreneur if that's the case.
Totally.
You know, it's just the ebbing and the flowing. It's the unpredictability. And I get it. Not everybody's cut out for it. But that's one of the most rewarding things.
There are some days that I look at my husband and I'm like, I wish I had a boss.
I know.
Like I wish there was someone that had to deal with this and it wasn't me.
I know.
But then most days, and when I say most, I mean 6 out of 7 days, I love it.
Same. I feel the same way. I really have very few days where I get up and I'm like, damn it, I got to go to the office again. I don't want to do that.
when that I have like the inbox filled, you know, when you have your inbox, you solve all the easies and then the hard ones go to the bottom. And then you look at the inbox and it's all the hard stuff.
Yeah.
That's that one day that I'm like, okay.
Or you Easter put off, big you know, because I usually keep a day where I have two or three priorities every day.
Mm-hmm.
And then I sort of have this list that's like, if I get to, and it's usually like
nice to-dos.
Right. And then a challenge that I have is that list becomes longer and longer until it's like freaky for me. And then I'm like,
yeah, like you don't want to look at the inbox.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But I've gotten a lot better at that, especially since I've simplified and I've gone more hybrid myself, which was my big challenge, like so many people around the pandemic. So, yeah, I love it. So what is your advice to people out there listening who are business owners, not just therapists, but people like in the wellness space? You know, they might be health coaches, they might be practitioners, they might be, and they're kind of thinking, you know, I really like this idea, but I don't know how it would work for me or how I would do it. What would you say to them?
Look for like-minded individuals. Look for like-minded individuals. Look for the person that is doing what you think you want to be doing.
Yeah.
And then try to meet with them and like backdo their timeline. One of my favorite things when I'm helping clients with a career is find the person who you want that to be your end goal and then look how they got there. Yeah. I think people think it's so easy to get from A to Z.
Yeah.
I have so many people that, you know, say to me like, oh, I just want to pick your brain. Like, so what do you do? How do you do it for marketing? And I'm like, girlfriend, if this could be solved in an hour, I'd be a gazillionaire.
Yeah. Everyone it's thinks that simple. When you complex. Build a business that you just woke up one day and put your shingle out and everybody should
and it worked out.
Sign up.
You were lucky.
It doesn't work like that.
Luck is not a thing.
Yeah.
Like hard work disguised is luck.
Yeah.
From my perspective. So I think it's finding like-minded individuals and identify what's the first step.
Yeah.
Be uncomfortable, be safe about it. But like, what's that first step? Is it downloading and buying the URL? Is it, you know, putting out some marketing materials? Is it hiring someone part-time? I think like the first step and asking for help and asking how someone did it are really key places to begin.
Yeah, I think so too. And I also think it's just keeping yourself moving in that forward direction. And sometimes it's just maintaining where you are. You know, it's maybe going back and revisiting, but it's and because the doubts are always going to be there. You know, the doubts never stop. There are days that I get up and I'm like, damn, I got to make it happen today. But those don't go away. But but when you teach yourself that you can do something really hard and you can stick with it, it's like there's no downside to it. None.
I absolutely agree.
Yeah, I love it. Any parting words or pieces of advice for people listening, business owners, therapists? Like, what do you do to make sure that you prioritize yourself as a business owner?
I mean, it's a good question. On my desk literally is a document, and I'll show it to you. I got this off of Etsy. I love it. Work, home, and for me.
I love it.
And I love the reason I really loved it was the for me section. Like, so often you have that long, endless to-do list, and it's a blend of professional and personal.
Totally.
But, like, the personal to-dos are not take care of myself, right? So I have found that like really outlining it is key. And then I just have a few non-negotiables in my week. Like I didn't used to work late into the night. I love putting my children to bed. I'm willing to work two nights a week doing these calls, three nights a week during the week, I'm putting my kids to bed. Like blocking your time out and having those non-negotiables are key. And then I think really paying attention to your core beliefs.
Yeah.
And one of my favorite things to challenge clients and business owners on are their negative core beliefs. And it actually is a free download on our website if it's something that you're interested in.
Oh, yeah, totally.
It's gettherapytips.com. And it literally is a workshop of identifying your negative core beliefs and challenging them. Because I really think like it's not actually the world that keeps us stuck. It's the lens that we see the world.
Oh, absolutely. 100%.
That is like our own shackles.
Yeah.
So if you can identify the unhelpful beliefs and workshop your way out of them, I think you're unstoppable.
Yeah, I think so too, because most everything in the world is going to happen anyway.
Yeah.
You know, and so
well said.
The big shift is what we're thinking and what we're making it mean.
Mm-hmm.
Every day of the week, that's what it is. That's where we can keep our power to ourselves.
I love it.
Right?
I absolutely agree with you.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. How can people connect with you? You mentioned the free gift, so tell us how people can hook up with you.
So if you want the free download and you want updates from the practice, gettherapytips.com. My business website is manhattanwellness.org. And you can email us hello@manhattanwellness.org. Whether you want to connect about your business, you're a potential client, you just want to say hello, absolutely reach out and you'll get our fast reply.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Love it. Love it. Thanks so much for making time to share your story. And I love what you're doing. Keep it up.
No, it was great connecting. Thank you.
Yeah, of course. So folks out there listening, there's so much gold in this episode, from listening to another business owner talk about her version of the hybrid model, how she's innovated and adapted, but also more importantly, how she really spotlights on the details to make sure that her clients get everything that they need from the time that they reach out and ask for help to the time that they're actually paired up with somebody to the time that they feel complete and that they've gotten everything that they need. I think this is so important when we're in service-based businesses. So if you know someone in your world who needs to hear this episode, please feel free to share the episode with them. You can copy the link from any, you know, we're on every major podcast platform. So you can copy the link from wherever you're listening to this and share it with them as a free gift, or you can come over and connect with me and we'll actually do it for you. You can come to my site. That's www.theallisonk.com and just connect with me and we will make sure that we do it for you. I always want to make sure that I thank all of you listening, because if you've been listening to me for the first time today, or you've been following me for any length of time, we do consider you part of our family. You're one of the reasons why I believe we are so successful and we continue to build two of the best podcasts in the world. So thanks so much. This is Allison Katzkowski with Creating the World's Best Client Experience. That's what I got for you this week. We'll see you next time. Bye.